ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। Welcome to our Bhagavata Pravaha sessions on the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the previous episode, we have seen the glorious story of Gajendra and his prayers, and we have seen how the Supreme Lord Hari has protected Gajendra. The prominent theme of the 8th canto of Bhagavatam is Manvantara. Manvantara means the reign of Manus. In one day of Brahma, there are 1000 Divyayugas and there are 14 Manus who rule in this period of 1000 Divya Yugas. So thus each Manu would rule for about 71 Divya Yugas. So there are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma, and the reign of each Manu is called Manvantara. And in one Manvantara, there are 6 kinds of personalities who orchestrate various affairs of that period. So they are Manvantaro Manur Deva Manuputra Sureshwaraha ऋषयो अंशावतारश्च हरेः षड्विधमुच्यते। इन ए मन्वंतरा देर इज मनु, मनुर, देवा मीन्स द डेमीगॉड्स, मनुपुत्र द सन्स ऑफ डेमीगॉड्स, सन्स ऑफ मनु, सुरेश्वरः द किंग ऑफ डेमीगॉड्स दैट इज इंद्र, एंड ऋषयः मीन्स द सेजेस, 7 प्रोमिनेंट सेजेस, अंशावतारः देर इज ए मन्वंतर अवतार। दीज आर द 6 काइंड्स ऑफ पर्सनैलिटीज who orchestrate various affairs in every Manvantara. And Sukadeva Goswami has been describing the 6 types of personalities in each of the 14 Manvantaras in this day of Brahma. He has described the first 4 Manvantaras like this, and he mentioned that in the fourth Manvantara, the Supreme Lord Hari has protected Gajendra from a crocodile. So Parikshit Maharaj has been hearing all this description, and he became very inquisitive and very eager to know how the Supreme Lord Hari has protected Gajendra. So Sukadeva Goswami has elaborated on that pastime, which we have discussed in the previous episode. Now Sukadeva Goswami, from the 5th chapter of this canto, he is continuing the description of the remaining Manvantaras. He begins the description of the 5th Manvantara. As you can see in the table, in the 5th Manvantara, Manu was Raivata. And this Raivata was the son of Priyavrata Maharaj. And in the 5th Manvantara, the demigods were Bhutarayas. And Manuputras, means the sons of Manu, are headed by Arjuna, Bali and Vindhya. And the Indra in the 8th Manvantara is Vibhu. And the chief 7 sages were Hiranmaya, Vedashira, then Urdhvabahu and many others. And the Manvantara avatara for 5th Manvantara was Vaikuntha, who is the son of Shubhra and Vaikuntha. And the Supreme Lord in the 8th Manvantara has created a Vaikuntha planet at the request of Ram. So this is the description of 5th Manvantara. And in the 6th Manvantara, the Manu was Chakshusha. That's why the 6th Manvantara is called Chakshusha Manvantara. And in the 6th Manvantara, the demigods were Apyas. And Manuputras were headed by Puru, then Purusha and Sudyumna. And Indra in the 6th Manvantara is named Mantradruma. And the 7 sages are headed by Havishman, Vikara and others. And the Manvantara avatar of the 6th Manvantara was Ajita, who is the son of Vairaja and Deva Sambhuti. And in this 6th Manvantara, the Supreme Lord Ajita has performed a beautiful pastime of Samudra Manthan, or the churning of the milk ocean. He has instructed the demigods and the demons to churn a milk ocean to produce nectar from it. And in that episode of churning of milk ocean, the Lord has manifested in the form of Kurma avatar and Mohini avatar. So Sukadeva Goswami, when he described all these details of Samudra Manthan, Parikshit Maharaj became so inquisitive and so eager to hear this pastime of Samudra Manthan in elaborate manner with great details. So Parikshit Maharaj requested Sukadeva Goswami. In the 11th sloka he says, "My dear Sukadeva Goswami, Why and how did Lord Vishnu change the milk ocean? And why did he stay inside the water as a kurma, means as a tortoise? And why did he hold up this mandara mountain? And he also asked, how did the demigods obtain nectar? And what other things also emanated from the churning of milk ocean? I want to know all these details. When Parikshit Maharaj questioned Sukadeva Goswami like this, Sukadeva Goswami became very eager to narrate the pastimes of the Supreme Lord in that episode of Samudra Manthan. And today, we will discuss this episode of Samudra Manthan, which is based on chapters number 5, 6, 7 and 8. So, Sukadeva Goswami begins. Once, Durvasa Muni saw Indra, who was sitting on his regal elephant of Airavata, and Durvasa Muni has offered a garland to Indra. He wanted to greet Indra and he wanted to bless Indra, so he gave a garland to Indra, and Indra accepted that garland, and that garland was offered to Indra from the own neck of Durvasa Muni. So Indra took that garland, but he gave that garland to Airavat. And Airavat, being an animal, he did not know how to handle it. So Airavat this could not understand the value of this beautiful garland, and Airavat just trampled that garland under its feet. He just smashed it. So Indra also was quite disrespectful in his behavior when he did not honor the garland that a Brahmana says Durvasa Muni has given him. Out of his intoxication and pride and puffed up nature in being the great king of heavenly realm, he could not value this garland, and he has neglectfully given it to his elephant, and the elephant just smashed it under its feet. So Durvasa Muni saw this and he was offended. So Durvasa Muni just cursed Indra. Indra, you are so puffed up, you are so proud of your material opulence, I curse you to become poverty stricken. May all your wealth and power and position will be lost. So then, because of Durvasa Muni's curse, the demigods became very weak, Indra became very weak, and the demons became very powerful, and demigods lost their positions. Demigods had to leave heavens. So the demigods, in such a predicament, they all went to Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma often addresses the issues and difficulties of the demigods and gives them proper counsel and proper guidance, and if needed, he takes all the demigods to Supreme Lord Vishnu to address the situation. Actually, in this material universe, the demigods are the appointed administrators or managers of various affairs of the universe. Indra will take care of showering rains, and Agni takes care of fire department, and Varuna takes care of water department, and sun and moon give light to us during the day and night. So like the different demigods, for example, Yamaraj would take care of the sinful living entities. So like the different demigods are entrusted with different responsibilities, and because they are devotees of the Lord, they may not be pure devotees. Some of them are pure devotees, but many of them are not pure devotees. They also have an inclination to enjoy, and also they want to render service to the Lord. So because they are little mixed devotees, sometimes they become little victims of pride or greed or envy or anger. So whenever such situations arise, Lord Brahma would just assist them. So in such situations, demigods would lose their positions, and again, to rectify the universal administrative system, the entire universal government, Brahma and Vishnu will assist the demigods. So now demigods, because of their pride, they lost their positions. So they approached Brahma, and Brahma said that, okay, let us all take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Only He can protect us. Even myself and Lord Shiva and all of you demigods and the demons or any type of living entities would just have to take shelter of the Supreme Lord in any predicament. And the Supreme Lord is impartial, and He is reciprocal with the way we approach Him. So He will definitely protect us and help us in this situation. So now it is the time for maintenance, It is not the time for destruction. So during the phase of maintenance, all the demigods must occupy their positions and very righteously and virtuously rule this universe and take care of various affairs of this universe. So Brahma has taken all these demigods to Shweta Dvipa, where the Supreme Lord Vishnu resides along with his eternal consort Lakshmi Devi. So Brahmaji started offering his beautiful prayers to the Lord. He has taken all the demigods to the shore of the milk ocean and he began to offer prayers. So he, in his prayers, Brahma glorified the transcendental qualities of Lord Vishnu. In the 26th shloka, he says that Avikriyam Satyam Anantam Adyam. O Lord, you are Avikriyam, means you are changeless. And Satyam, you are the eternal truth. Anantam, you are unlimited. Adyam, you are the origin or source of everything. And Guhashayam Nishkalam Apratarkyam. So you are Guhashayam, means you stay within the core of the heart of every single living being. And Nishkalam, you are without any material qualities. And Apratarkyam, you are inconceivable. It is not very easy to understand the Lord by tarka or argumentation. The Lord is inconceivable. He is beyond the purview of our arguments or intellectual gymnastics. And in this way, Brahma glorifies the Supreme Lord in various ways, the Supreme Lord Vishnu. He says that, O Lord, you are omnipotent. You have full knowledge of all the jivas and you illuminate our senses and all the sense objects. You are the shelter of those who are suffering in this ignorance. And you have no partiality towards any living entity. You are equally disposed towards all living entities. In this way, Brahma glorifies the Supreme Lord in various ways. And he also says that, O Lord, great yogis worship you to get liberation. And your prowess is unlimited. And it is very difficult to understand you. Even Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Name viduhu suraganaha prabhavam na maharsheha. Here Brahmaji is the topmost of all demigods and he is accompanied by many other prominent demigods like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu. And he is saying that, O Lord, it is very difficult to understand you. Because whether one is a demigod or a rishi or a brahmana or a kshatriya or whatever, it is not easy to understand the Supreme Lord Vishnu. He is beyond the reach of our intelligence or words or sensory perception. So, the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all our material senses and intelligence. But if we perform bhakti, one can easily understand the Lord. And further, Brahmaji glorified the universal form of the Lord, of Lord Vishnu. He says that, O Lord, this earth is your feet, means your lotus feet denotes this earth. And your semen denotes water. Your mind is like moon. And fire is your mouth. Sun is your eye. Air is your prana. So all the various elements in this material universe are compared to different bodily limbs of the Lord or different attributes of the Lord's personality. So this is called universal form. We have discussed in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also that to conceive or to compare various elements of the universe with the limbs of the Supreme Lord is called universal form. So the material universe has so many elements and all of them are manifested by the Supreme Lord's energy. So energy is non-different from the energetic person, although energy stays separately from the Lord also. Thus energy and energetic are one and different also simultaneously. So that simultaneous oneness and difference of the Supreme Lord and his energies is our philosophy called Bheda Bheda. And it is inconceivable. That's why it is called Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So without the energetic person, energy has no existence. And without energy, the energetic person has no meaning. Thus energy and energetic person together exist as one. Yet, energy can function when the Supreme Lord, the energetic person puts that energy into action. And the Lord can exist separately from this energy also. So the Lord exists separately from this universe, which is a manifestation of his energy. At the same time, this universe also is equivalent to the Lord because it doesn't exist. It has no existence or no meaning without the Lord. So in that sense, sometimes the universe is compared as one with the Lord. and various elements of the universe are compared with various limbs of the Lord, and it is a bona fide imagination and bona fide comparison. So that is called universal form. And why such descriptions are given? Because an average conditioned soul may not be able to understand the glory of the Supreme Lord, His personal form, because our material senses cannot perceive the all spiritual Supreme Lord. So that's why the scriptures present that whatever we see in this material world is a part of the Supreme Lord's body. So at least through this nature, through these material elements, we are made to understand the existence of the Supreme God behind this whole creation. So the nature is a manifestation of the Lord. So nature is also one form of the Lord. This universe is also one form of the Lord. When we are told like that, then we will understand the existence of God. At least intellectually we will believe that that some Supreme Person is present. So that's why this kind of comparisons are given. But for some devotees, devotees who have faith in the Lord's personal forms, they can directly believe, oh, the Lord is supreme, He has spiritual form, and He manifests in many spiritual forms like Rama, Krishna, Narasimha, Varaha, Vamana, etc. So people who do not have faith in all these forms, they are told to just see this universe as the form of the Lord. That's the purpose of all these descriptions of universal form in various sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 8th canto also, this universal form description is there as Brahmaji is describing. So Brahma further says that all the material elements are like your limbs. So from the limbs of the Lord, different material elements are emanated. From the ears, different directions come. From the heart, from the navel, ether, senses, mind and air, and with air within the body appears. And from the strength of the Lord, Indra appears. From the joy of the Lord, other demigods appear. From the anger of the Lord, Shiva appears. From the intelligence of the Lord, Brahma appears. From the bodily holes of the Lord, Vedas appear. From the genitals of the Lord, Prajapatis like Daksha appear. So, and from the chest, the goddess of fortune appears. So, all these different personalities in this universe and different elements in this universe are emanating from the Lord only. Further, he says, Brahma says, from the shadow of the Lord, inhabitants of Pitruloka appear. From His bosom, religion appears. From His back, irreligion appears. From His head, heavens appear. From His enjoyment, apsaras appear. From His mouth, brahmanas appear. From His arms, kshatriyas appear. And from His thighs, vaishyas appear. And from His feet, shudras appear. So in this way, the Lord is the source of everything that is there in this material world. From the lower lip, greed appears. From the upper lip, affection appears. From the nose, bodily luster emanates. And from the touch, from the Lord's touch, lust emanates. And from His eyebrows, Yamaraj comes. And from His eyelids, the eternal time factor appears. So in this way, Brahmaji describes the universal form of Supreme Lord Vishnu. And he says that we have to reject this material world. Although this entire universe can be conceived as the form of the Lord has a supreme spiritual form. Exalted devotees do not give so much of value or importance to this material universal form, but they give more priority to the personal spiritual forms. So these descriptions of universal form are there, but devotees do not get so excited with this universal form descriptions. They don't worship universal form. They worship the personal forms of the Lord, like Rama, Krishna, Varaha, Narasimha, and all these beautiful forms. And we wish to see you, my dear Lord. Brahmaji is fervently praying to the Lord. Oh Lord, can you please give us darshan? Now we are in a predicament. All the demigods have lost their positions. The demons have taken over the heavenly planets. So we want your darshan. We want your assistance now. We want your kind support and help. So then in the 47th shloka, he says about the karmis. He speaks about the worship of the Lord. Klesha bhuryalpa sarani karmani vifalani va dehinam vishayartanam natathaivarpitam tvayi. Klesha bhuri alpa sarani. Klesha means difficulty, hardship. Klesha bhuri. The endeavors are the difficulties that a conditioned soul faces in this material world. A karmi or a materialistic person faces in this world is so tremendous. The hardships are tremendous, but alpasarani means the results are very little. The endeavor is a lot, the result is very little. Result is very little. And karmani vifalaniva, and the endeavors are often frustrated also. So, dehinam, vishayartanam, the embodied beings are enjoying this material world, but it isn't, the devotees who are dedicated to the Supreme Lord do not endeavor so hard for material happiness like the karmis. So, in this way, the karmis over endeavor for sense enjoyment is condemned by Brahma. And he also describes the power of devotional activities in the next shloka, 48th shloka. He says, Navamaha karma kalpopi vifala vifalayeshwaryarpitaham kalpate purushasyaiva sahyatma dayito hitaham. He says that even small traces of efforts, when done properly, by dedicating those efforts to the Supreme Lord, they will never go in vain. Even little amount of devotional service done to please the Supreme Lord will derive, will give us an eternal benefit. In the previous shloka, it is mentioned that karmis klesha bhuri alpasarani, their endeavor is a lot, the result is very meager. But for devotees, the endeavor, even if it is less also, the result is tremendous. For example, Ajamil has performed some little bhakti in the beginning stages of his life. But when he saw the prostitute, he was distracted from that whole cultured and civilized life, and he became so degraded. But still, that little amount of devotional service protected him in a greatest danger. When he was about to be taken by the Yamadutas, Vishnudutas came and protected him because he chanted the holy name Narayana just to indicate his son, not even to indicate Narayana. So even little amount of bhakti done will protect us from the greatest dangers. But even greatest amount of endeavor done to derive sense enjoyment will not give even little amount of result also. That's the difference between the process of bhakti and karma. So in this way, Brahmaji offered so many prayers to the Lord. He glorified the Lord in various ways, and he described the universal form of the Lord, and he says that devotees surrender to the personal forms and not universal forms, and he spoke about karmis, he spoke about bhaktas. And then finally he glorified devotional service and requested the Lord, "No Lord, can you please manifest and help us?" When Brahma said like this, that completes the fifth chapter, we enter the sixth chapter. So the Supreme Lord starts listening these prayers, and the Supreme Lord Vishnu manifests in front of Brahma and other demigods. So Lord Hari appeared before the demigods, and he had brilliance like thousands of rising suns. So, although one Lord is standing there, it appeared like as if so many suns are standing there, emanating so much of effulgence. And all the demigods were blinded by the effulgence. Suddenly, so much of light comes in front of you, you cannot see that light. So, similarly, all the demigods were practically blinded by that effulgence. They could not see anything, including the Lord also. Then the Lord slowly manifested his beautiful features. And the Lord's supreme beauty is described from the third shloka to seventh shloka of this chapter. So, the shlokas are saying that Swachham Makarashyamam, Swachham Marakatashyamam. So, the Supreme Lord has a blackish body, Swachham. It resembles a pure, clean Marakata gem. And his eyes are reddish like depths of lotus. So, and his yellow silken garments are like molten gold, and his entire body is attractively decorated, and his crown is bedecked with valuable jewels, and his beautiful earrings illuminate the cheeks of his beautiful lotus face. So he has earrings, and the earrings are constantly swinging, and that illumination is coming on his cheeks, and his face is more charming because of all these beautiful ornaments. And in fact, the Lord's beauty increases the beauty of the ornaments. If the same ornaments are used by some other person, he may not look so beautiful. But the Lord beautifies the ornaments. That's why it is said that Param Padam Bhoshana Bhoshanangam, the Supreme Lord is the ornament of all ornaments. So in this way, the Lord's beauty is beautifully described, how he is wearing beautiful garlands, and how he is worshipped in his original form by different devotees. So when the Supreme Lord Vishnu appeared in front of the demigods and Brahma, Brahma again started offering prayers. So Brahma took all the demigods to Shvetadvipa and he offered prayers to the Lord. And after the Lord appeared in front of Brahma, Brahma again started offering prayers, second set of prayers. So Brahma says that, O Lord, you are inconceivable. So the shloka says, Ajata janma sthiti samyamaya. Ajata janma sthiti samyamaya. Gunaya nirvana sukharnavaya. Anoranime pariganyan dhamne mahanubhavaya namo namaste. So in this shloka, Brahma says, O Lord, you are ajata, you are unborn. And janma sthiti samyamaya, still you appear and disappear in many incarnations. Although he is unborn, he appears in many incarnations. And you are never affected by material modes. Gunaya. Then nirvana sukharanavaya, you are an ocean of nirvana sukha. You are an ocean of spiritual bliss. And further he says, anor anime, you are the supremely subtle of all subtle things. He's smaller than the smallest. Just like there are ashtasiddhis attained by the ashtanga yogis. So they are like becoming smaller than the smallest, becoming bigger than the biggest. All these yogic siddhis or mystic siddhis are eternally present in the Supreme Lord's body. And Mahanubhavaya namo namaste. O Lord, your existence is inconceivable. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. And you are the beginning of everything. You are the middle of everything. You are the end of everything. You are the cause of creation, maintenance and destruction of this entire cosmos. So in this way, Brahma glorified the Supreme Lord Vishnu in various ways. You are involved in so many activities in this material world, but you are unaffected by those material activities. So, and now that you have showed your beautiful darshan to all of us, we are so obliged to you. We feel so fortunate. So, here Brahmaji is saying that it is our long cherished desire and goal to be able to have your darshan. So, just as elephants afflicted in forest fire, when they jump into a river, they feel relieved, right? Similarly, all the people who are undergoing a lot of difficulties in this material world, they feel relieved when they take the darshan of the Lord. When we see the beautiful form of the Lord, all miseries that we experience in this world are completely forgotten. So, and after speaking like this, Brahmaji said, O Lord, we have come here, and actually you know the purpose of our visit. We came here with a purpose. The purpose is, all the demigods, because of Durvasa Muni's curse, they have lost their positions, and the demons have taken over the universal administration, and demons are naturally very inimical and very mischievous. So the demons are not the right people who should rule the universe. So people who are ruling the universe should have some humility, should be in mode of goodness, and should be sober and gentle, and should be mainly dedicated to the Lord, be obedient to the Lord. But the demons are never obedient to the Supreme Lord. So they are not supposed to be ruling. Now the demigods lost their positions and the demons have taken over the heavenly planets. Can you please help us to rectify the situation? All this is known to you. That's why we are not expressing it elaborately. So you please tell us what is good for us. So Brahmaji offered prayers like this. So please show us some solution. So this is the maintenance phase of the universe. So demigods are supposed to be protected and the mode of goodness has to be upheld. Demons cannot take over things. Please help us. So the Supreme Lord Vishnu gave a plan. He gave a master plan. How the demigods can regain the heavenly planets. How the demons can be taken out from that positions in the heavens. So the Supreme Lord has made a master plan and he has started speaking to all the demigods. So he said, please hear me very attentively, my dear demigods. Whatever I say will bring all good fortune to you, will reinstate all of you in the heavenly planets. He says that because you are not flourishing now, it is better for you to make a truce with the demons. So you should make sandhi, you should make truce with the demons. And they are being favored by time. you have offended a Brahmana Durvasa and you lost everything. But they have worshipped another Brahmana, Sukracharya, their guru, and they are very much empowered. So now that you are not flourishing, you can go and make a truce with the demigods. So it is an important principle. For attaining an important goal, one may have to make a truce with demons also, with inimical people also, with enemies also. We may have to compromise sometimes to attain some result. So the Lord is exhibiting a transcendental flavor of diplomacy here. So diplomacy has its role in this material world. And to achieve a good purpose, sometimes we may have to employ little diplomacy also, but that diplomacy has to be employed with proper discrimination. Here the demigods are employing the diplomacy under the guidance of the Supreme Lord. So he says, there is a beautiful example. He gives the snake and mouse logic. Once, you can see that picture, once a snake and mouse are caught in a basket. And the snake made a truce with the mouse, because the mouse has the ability to bite the basket and then come out and escape. But the snake does not have ability. If the mouse makes a hole in the basket, the snake can escape. And the snake does not have the ability to make a hole itself. So the snake requested the mouse, "My dear mouse, if you just make a hole in the basket, then we both can escape." And it is known to everyone that snake can eat mouse. So if the mouse does not make a hole in the basket and allow or help snake to escape from the basket, within the basket, the snake can eat the mouse. So inside the basket, the mouse's life is in threat. And of course, snake's life is also in threat. So the snake made a truce with the mouse and then told the mouse, "Can you make a hole? Let us escape. And if you make a hole, I will not eat you. I will not kill you. Don't worry." So then finally, but snake's intention is, once the mouse makes the hole, snake can escape and snake can eat the rat also, eat the mouse also. So then snake did like that. So sometimes to achieve one's own selfish purpose, one may have to employ some diplomacy. But devotees do not take into this kind of diplomatic behavior in ordinary circumstances. But to achieve a good purpose, the demigods are also devotees. But to achieve a good purpose and to establish righteousness and truthfulness in the throne of heavenly kingdom and to dethrone demoniac people from there, sometimes this kind of diplomacy has to be employed. And the Supreme Lord is personally saying this. Under the guidance of the Supreme Lord, the demigods are employing this diplomacy. But this diplomacy should not come into the dealings, ordinary dealings, and it should not become the second nature. So it can be employed in some special and unique, unavoidable circumstances under proper guidance, as the Supreme Lord is directing the demigods. So then the Lord said, you should make truce with the demons and both of you should come together and try to produce nectar. And once you churn the milk ocean with the Mandara mountain by making Vasuki serpent as the churning rope and produce nectar, by drinking the nectar, you can gain a lot of power, you can become almost immortal, your lifespan can be very long, and you can have a lot of strength, and nobody can defeat you so easily. So the Lord has given this plan. He said you should produce nectar, and he gives the churning plan also. Oh demigods, you should put vegetables and grass and creepers and other herbs into the milk ocean, and with the help of the demigods, with the help of the demons, you should try to churn that milk ocean, and then from that milk ocean, so many products will come out and you can become powerful by it, especially the nectar. And when you are churning the milk ocean, so many things will come out. Don't be greedy for them. Be patient. And sometimes now that demigods are powerless and the demons are more powerful, when the demigods go to the demons to make a truce, the demons may have some demands. So the plan is given by Vishnu, and the plan will be communicated by demigods. The demons did not have that plan, but still demigods, but the demons were in power, so they might have extra demands from the demigods. So the Supreme Lord Vishnu said that, okay, if they are demanding you something, you just compromise and then you just adjust with those demands. You should not be angry, you should not be impatient, and you should not be greedy for all the items that are coming out there. Your focus is on the nectar. So please don't forget that. He says like that. Give up fear, give up greed, give up anger. From the churning, kalakuta poison also will come. When you churn, first poison will come out. Don't be afraid of that poison. When we are doing some good activity, for example, you are cleaning a room which is very dusty. So when you are cleaning the dust in the room, a lot of dust may just go inside. And then we may get a little irritated. So, but if you continue to do that, then the room will become very clean and we can peacefully stay in that room. Similarly, when the demigods and demons would be churning the milk ocean, first poison will come out. So we should not be afraid of that poison. He says that poison will come out. Don't be afraid of that poison and don't stop churning. Okay. So in this way, the Supreme Lord Vishnu has advised the demigods and he cautioned them. He gave all reassurance that they will again regain their power. So then all the demigods went to the demons. And the demons were headed by Bali Maharaj. And Brahma and Shiva returned to their abodes, because Brahma and Shiva need not be along with all these demigods to make this truce and all that. So Brahma went to his abode, Shiva went to his abode, and Vishnu gave this plan, and he remained in Sivatadvipa. And all the demigods headed by Indra, they went to the demons. And the demons were headed by Bali Maharaj. So as soon as the demons came there, as soon as the demigods came there, some of the demons became very agitated. They became so angry and they wanted to attack the demigods. So Bali Maharaj, being a very gentlemanly person, he told the demons, "My dear demons, you should not attack the demigods, because these demigods are coming to us to have a discussion. They don't seem to be having any fighting spirit. They are not coming to us with fighting spirit. So if the other person doesn't want to fight, why should you want to fight?" So even when enemies also come to somebody's house, such an enemy has to be received properly at one's house. This is the ideal principle of guest reception in the Vedic culture. So now the demigods went very humbly and sat near Bali Maharaj and mentioned their proposal. And the proposal is that let us join together, let us cooperate together for a higher purpose of producing nectar. Let us take Mandara Mountain and let us churn the milk ocean with this Mandara Mountain let's produce nectar. And when nectar comes out, let us share that nectar. So the demigods presented this proposal and it's a very peaceful negotiation. And the demons also agreed, Bali Maharaj agreed with this proposal. But internally, the demons were thinking, okay, these demigods came with this plan to churn milk ocean and to get nectar from it. So once the nectar comes out, we will take all the nectar for ourselves and we will cheat these demigods. So demons were thinking like this. And of course, the demigods also had a similar plan. So even in the upper planets also, even amongst exalted demigods also, such kind of cheating propensities will be there. So, but point is, the demigods are surrendered to the Lord. They are righteous, they are in mode of goodness, and they know proper values. And the demons are often their senses are not controlled, their mind is not controlled, they are very cruel. They torture people, they stop Vedic culture, they stop Vishnu worship, they stop sacrifices. Because these people are like snakes and poisonous and very selfish in nature and envious in nature, they are not supposed to be in that positions. So generally, all support is given to the demigods and not to the demons. And as the pastime unfolds, we will see more of it. So politics and diplomacy are there in the circles of demigods also. Then the agreement has been made and all the demigods and demons went to Mandara Mountain to bring that Mandara Mountain all the way to the ocean of milk. So they uprooted that Mandara Mountain. It is such a huge mountain. It's extremely difficult to carry. It's golden mountain. It's very heavy. All the demigods and demons tried their best to lift that mountain. When they were trying to carry, the mountain was so heavy they could not carry and they fell down. And many of them broke their limbs and their thighs and their backs and some of them even lost their lives also. So it's very difficult to carry that mountain. So at that time, the Supreme Lord Vishnu came on the back of his bird carrier Garuda. So he came there and he picked up this Mandara mountain and effortlessly placed it on the back of Garuda. And he also revived all the devatas and demons. Also, he brought them back to life. He revived their bodily limbs and he put them also on the back of Garuda. So Garuda was such a huge bird. He could accommodate all the demigods and demons and Lord Vishnu and the Mandara mountain also. So Garuda brought this Mandara mountain all the way to Milk Ocean. And he just unloaded that Mandara mountain there. And when Lord Vishnu came there, he revived the demigods who broke their limbs and he also revived the demons. So Lord Vishnu wanted, ultimately he wanted demigods to flourish and demons, because of their mischievous nature, they are not supposed to be receiving this nectar, but still the Lord wanted to utilize them in this endeavor. So at this point, the Lord did not want to eliminate them. So he revived them also. So then when Garuda brought this Mandara mountain all the way to Milk Ocean, then Lord Vishnu told Garuda, "Garuda, you are not supposed to be here. You should clear this place. You please go away from this Milk Ocean." So it is Garuda who brought all the demigods and all the demons and even the Mandara mountain, the main churning rod for this churning of Milk Ocean. Without Mandara mountain, how will they churn? Although Garuda has done tremendous amount of service, Lord Vishnu told him, "You cannot stay here. Please clear this place. You cannot be here." So the reason why the Lord told Garuda is that now the churning rod, Mandara mountain, has come there. Next churning rope has to come. Who is the churning rope? The Vasuki serpent. So Vasuki serpent is about to come, and Garuda, being a great mighty eagle, he has a natural tendency to kill snakes or eat snakes. So the Supreme Lord Vishnu thought that, oh, it's not proper for Garuda to be here. Garuda and Vasuki should not be together at one place. So Garuda should clear the place. And Garuda, being a very obedient servant of Vishnu, sincerely followed the instruction of Vishnu and he left. So he did not argue. So then that completes the seventh chapter. We come to that completes the sixth chapter. We enter the seventh chapter. So in the seventh chapter, we see that the demigods and the demons went to Vasuki serpent and they brought the Vasuki serpent. They told Vasuki that we will also give you a share of nectar. So you assist us in this churning of Milk Ocean and we will give you nectar. So Vasuki has so many hoods and from his hoods he can emanate fire and he can emanate poison. Lot of heat and smoke will come out of his mouth. So it's a huge serpent. It can coil around this Mandara mountain and still it is so long. So that's why the serpent has come. So as soon as the serpent Vasuki was brought there, then Lord Ajita, Lord Vishnu, just picked up the front portion of Vasuki's snake. So Vasuki coiled this Mandara mountain and one team has to take the tail portion, another team has to take the front portion of the snake and they should start churning, as you are seeing in the pictures. So Lord Ajita grasped the front portion of Vasuki and the demons protested. They said that you are catching the front portion. Demigods also followed. Lord Ajita took the front portion and demigods also took the front portion. They are following Vishnu. The demons immediately protested. They said that, how can you catch the front portion? We are more qualified. We are more educated. We are more influential and we are in power also. and the tail of this snake is inauspicious part of its body. And the head portion or the front portion of the snake is auspicious part. So we will catch this front portion and you catch this tail portion. So when the demons argued like this, the nature of demons is to always compare with the demigods and compete with the demigods and complain on everything that the demigods do. If the demigods do something, the demons have to do exactly the opposite. If the demigods take something, the demons hanker to take that thing from the demigods. So that's the nature of the demons. So Lord Ajita just smiled and then left their front portion, and he went to the tailed portion and then picked up there, and the demigods just followed. So all the demons went and caught the front portion of the Vasuki, and the demigods took the tail portion, and the Chernik sat it. So Lord Ajita just smiled at this protest. So earlier only Lord Vishnu told the demigods, sometimes the demons may demand you a lot. So you should just agree to their demands. You should be patient. You should not become impatient. You should not argue with them or fight with them. So you should be very patient till the whole process of churning completes. So then Mandara mountain is so heavy. When the demigods and demons coiled this Mandara mountain with the Vasuki serpent and started churning, because Mandara mountain is so heavy, it sank into the milk ocean. It could not stay. So all the demigods and demons became so morose. With great effort, we began this process enthusiastically, but this Mandara mountain was sinking. What should we do? So when hindrances come, when some troubles or difficulties come in our activities, all the demons will consider that it's just by chance. So they don't consider the Supreme Lord's will there. So, but the demigods take shelter of the Lord whenever hindrances come. So they also understand that these obstacles are created by the Lord, and these obstacles can be addressed also by the Lord only. So all the demigods took shelter of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and the Supreme Lord Vishnu expanded himself as Kurmavatar, a huge tortoise whose back is 8 lakh miles wide. So he became Kurmavatar, a huge tortoise, and then he went inside the milk ocean and lifted that Mandara mountain and held that Mandara mountain on the back so that the demigods and the demons can churn the milk ocean. So this is the glory of Kurmavatar. And when Mandara mountain was rotating on the back of Kurma, Lord Kurma felt a scratching sensation on his back. So when there is some scratching sensation is there, you feel little comfortable or sleepy. So Kurma felt sleepy. And when Lord Kurma was holding this mountain, the rotation of this Mandara mountain is said to be polishing the ornaments of the Supreme Lord Kurma. And also another important phenomenon happened. So the Lord Kurma is inside the ocean and he's breathing. He's inhaling and exhaling. When he's inhaling and exhaling, the water of the ocean is coming out and going in. When he's inhaling, the water comes in. When he's exhaling, the water goes out. So since then, all the oceans are making this sound, making the waves of this ocean come out and go in, come out and go in, acknowledging the breathing of Kurmavatar inside the milk ocean. This is how the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains very beautifully. So now the Lord assisted them in bringing the Mandara mountain, and the Lord also assisted them in holding that Mandara mountain in the milk ocean by becoming Kurmavatar. Now the Lord wanted to empower all of them. So they need some strength to do it. And when they are doing it, they will become easily tired also. So the Lord has empowered the demigods with Sattva Guna, and he has empowered the demons with Rajoguna, and he has empowered the Vasuki serpent with Tamoguna. So in this way, again the Lord has helped this process of churning of milk ocean. And also, the Lord has supported the Mandara mountain from bottom as Kurmavatar, but the Mandara mountain is still getting imbalanced from top. So the Lord became Sahasrabahu, and with his 1,000 arms, he held the mountain from top also. You can see that Mandara mountain picture, the churning of milk ocean picture. On top of that mountain also there is Vishnu. Bottom also there is Vishnu, means as Kurmavatar. And Vishnu is also along with the demigods participating in the churning. So in this way the Lord is everywhere orchestrating this whole incident, just enjoying the pastimes of Samudra Manthan. If the Lord wanted, if Vishnu wanted, he can just directly give the nectar pot to the demigods. Take it, enjoy it, defeat the demons. Or he himself could have defeated. But to have pastimes, just to enjoy a lot of pleasure through all these pastimes, the Lord has given a very big master plan. And then Vishnu also personally participated in churning. So when the churning was happening, Vasuki was emanating great fire. Lot of poison and fire and smoke and heat is emanating from Vasuki's serpent's mouth. So when it is coming out, all the demons who are holding the front portion of that snake, they were getting fatigued. They were getting burnt by this smoke and heat. Their faces were getting blackened. And not only the demons, even the demigods are also getting affected. Demigods are on the other side. They are on the tail side. Other side of the ocean, other side of the Mandara mountain, still they are also getting some little heat from Vasuki's mouth. So the Supreme Lord Vishnu has arranged for clouds. He has arranged for rain-bearing clouds and some small droplets of water, drizzling is coming on the bodies of the demigods and demons to give them a very soothing effect as they are churning the milk ocean. So in this way the Lord has done so many things to orchestrate this churning process. So while the Lord was churning, he is appearing so beautiful. As mentioned in the 17th shloka, megha shyamah kanaka paridhihi karna vidyota vidyun murdhani bhrajat vilulitakacham sragdharo raktanetraham jaitrair dorbhir jagadabhayadair dandashukam grihitva mathanan mathana Pratigiririvashobhatathodhritartaham. So this beautiful shloka describes the beauty of Lord Vishnu as he is participating in this whole process of churning the milk ocean. The Lord appeared like a black cloud and he was dressed in yellow garments and his earrings were shining like lightning. Meghashyamaha kanaka paridhi. And his hair was spread all over his shoulders. And he wore a beautiful garland of flowers and his eyes were reddish. And with his glorious arms that award fearlessness to the entire universe, he was holding the tail of Vasuki and then churning the milk ocean. And he began to churn the milk ocean with Mandara mountain as the churning rod. And he was appearing like a mountain of blue sapphire. Mandara mountain was looking golden. The Supreme Lord who is churning that milk ocean with that Mandara mountain, he was appearing like a sapphire mountain. So, as the churning began, the demigods and demons enthusiastically started churning. Suddenly, an obstacle came in their process. The obstacle was in the form of hala hala poison. Poison came out of this churning process. So, this fearful poison started spreading in all directions in the universe. So all the demigods and the demons became very perturbed. So although the Supreme Lord Vishnu has orchestrated this whole Samudra Manthan episode so diligently, right from beginning of conceiving the plan of making a truce with the demigods and demons and also bringing the Mandara mountain all the way to Milk Ocean, reviving all the demigods and demons who broke their limbs while carrying Mandara mountain, and also telling Garuda to go back to clear that place. And he became Kurma and lifted that mountain from bottom. He became Sahasrabahu and held that mountain from top. And he became Ajita and started participating in the churning ocean. And in the form of mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, he empowered the demigods, demons and Vasuki. And he also created rain-bearing clouds to give a soothing effect to demigods and demons. Although the Supreme Lord has done so many things like this, Lord Vishnu did not want to counteract the hala hala poison now. Why? he wanted to give that credit to his dear devotee Lord Shiva. Let Lord Shiva become famous in drinking this halahala poison and let him be glorified for all generations to come. I will maintain a low profile. Actually, Shiva's drinking of poison, in halahala poison, in this churning of milk ocean, is much more popular event than Lord Vishnu doing all the things that we just discussed. So, the Supreme Lord Vishnu takes pleasure in giving more credit to his devotees than he takes for himself. That's the nature of the Supreme Lord Vishnu or Krishna. For example, Krishna has orchestrated entire Kurukshetra war and helped Pandavas in various ways and empowered the Pandavas and especially Arjuna become a hero in the battlefield. But Krishna maintained a low profile. He just became a chariot driver of Arjuna. That's the nature of the Lord. The Lord gives more credit to his devotees than he takes for himself. Next, Lord Shiva was in Kailasa Hill. Now all the demigods and the Supreme Lord himself, Vishnu himself, went to Lord Shiva in Kailasa Hill and they started offering prayers to Lord Shiva. So all the demigods were offering prayers that, "Oh Lord, oh Shiva, you can protect us, you can liberate us, and you are the Supreme Brahman, you are the original cause of everything, you are everything in the entire universe. In this way Shiva is being glorified." Now some of these glories, as mentioned by the demigods, may seem little exaggeration. They are glorifying Shiva as the super soul or as the totality of everything in the universe, and they are describing the universal form to be Shiva's universal form. So when such glorifications of Shiva or Brahma appear in Srimad Bhagavatam in different contexts, they are glorifying Lord Vishnu only, and they are speaking all these glories in front of Shiva because Shiva is representing Lord Vishnu. So we need to take it as a representative sense. Shiva is representing Lord Vishnu, and Shiva is being glorified like this by all these demigods and demons. So now when the demigods requested Lord Shiva to help them in this predicament of this poison spreading all over the universe, Lord Shiva consulted Bhavani. Lord Shiva spoke to his wife Parvati or Bhavani and said, "My dear Bhavani," he became very compassionate. "See how all the jivas are suffering because of this poison. This poison came out of this churning of milk ocean and it is spreading in all directions. So I am the master of all these living entities. It is my duty to protect them, from all this, protect them from this calamity. When we are benevolent upon suffering people, that pleases the Supreme Lord Krishna or Vishnu." He says that pranai hi swai hi prani naha panti, 39 shloka says, sadhavah kshana bhangurai baddhavaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshvatma mayayah. Common people, conditioned souls, become inimical towards other people. But great devotees show compassion even on such conditioned souls. They are not inimical towards everyone. That is the benevolence or compassion or merciful nature of pure devotees. And by exhibiting such compassion, one can please the Supreme Lord a lot. And in this context, there is another beautiful shloka, 44th shloka, that says, tapyante lokatapena sadhavah prayasho janah paramaradhanam taddhi purushasya akhilatmanah. Tapyante lokatapena. Great devotees undergo a lot of austerity and difficulties. For what purpose? To relieve other people from their distress. A Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi. He cannot tolerate seeing the distress of others. When others are in distress, Vaishnava feels a lot of pain and anxiety in his mind. So tapyante lokatapena sadhavah prayasho janah. Almost always such great souls undergo tremendous amount of tribulation or some austerity to relieve other people from their miseries. Out of their compassion they do it. Paramaradhanam taddhi purushasya akhilatmanah. And this kind of compassion on common people is the greatest form of worship of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. So we will become dear to God to the degree we become compassionate on common people. And that compassion has to be on a spiritual plane. The real compassion on common people is to show compassion on a spiritual plane and bring them closer to bhakti, bring them closer to God. So in this way, Shiva took the permission of Bhavani, and Bhavani also knows the glories of her husband, and she gave her permission, and Shiva went to drink this poison. And Shiva drank this poison. He took all the poison in his palm and then he drank this poison, and there is a blue mark on his throat. That's why he is called Nilakantha. So Shiva is not affected definitely by drinking this poison. But when Shiva was drinking this poison, some droplets of poison fell and some scorpions and snakes drank that poison and they became poisonous. So that completes the 7th chapter, and now we enter the 8th chapter of Samudramanthan, of this 8th canto, Samudramanthan episode. Now, after poison came, the demigods and demons again enthusiastically started churning the milk ocean. Poison situation was addressed by Lord Shiva, they again started churning. Then Surabhi cow came. When Surabhi cow appeared, the Surabhi cow provides milk and butter and all ghee for sacrifices. So the great sages have taken possession of Surabhi cow. Next, a horse came. The name of that horse is Uchchaishrava. So this horse was taken by Bali Maharaj. The horse was as white as a moon. Next, Airavata came, this elephant. That elephant was taken by Indra. And 8 male elephants and 8 female elephants appeared. And next, Kaustubhamani and Padmaragamani appeared. So these two manis or jewels are taken by Lord Vishnu. And next, Parijata flower appeared, and Apsaras also appeared. They went to heavenly planets. And Parijata flower was, it became a great decoration in the celestial heaven. And later, goddess of fortune, Rama Devi appeared. Lakshmi Devi appeared. So when Lakshmi Devi appeared, she was so beautiful. So Lakshmi is considered to be the daughter of ocean god. She appeared from the churning of milk ocean. So she is the eternal consort of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And Lakshmi appeared. Her bodily features were so glorious and she was very youthful. Her complexion was golden and it attracted the minds of everybody. So actually people get attracted to Lakshmi, but they will receive the favor of Lakshmi when they worship Narayana. So when Lakshmi appeared, many people started worshipping Lakshmi. Indra offered a throne to Lakshmi Devi, and the personified rivers offered pure water in golden pots, and earth offered herbs, cows offered panchagavya, means milk, yogurt, ghee, cow urine and cow dung are called panchagavya, and cows offered that to Mother Lakshmi to worship her. And various seasons, Vasanta season offered flowers. And the sages performed Abhishek ceremony for Lakshmi Devi. They performed the auspicious bathing ceremony for Lakshmi Devi. And Gandharvas chanted auspicious prayers. And professional women, they started singing and dancing. And personified clouds played drums like Mridanga and the blue conch shells. And great elephants bathed her by sucking water from their trunks. And the ocean offered silken garments. And Varuna offered garlands, and Vishwakarma offered varieties of ornaments, and Saraswati Devi offered a necklace to Lakshmi Devi, and Brahma offered a lotus flower to Lakshmi, and Nagaloka inhabitants gave earrings to Lakshmi Devi. In this way, several personalities in the universe offered various gifts to Mother Lakshmi as soon as she appeared from the churning of milk ocean. And Lakshmi Devi. Now, next, Lakshmi Swayamvara happens. Swayamvara means when the girl chooses a husband on her own, it is called Swayamvara. So, Lakshmi Devi's marriage has to happen. She appeared from the milk ocean. Now, she has to accept someone as her husband. So, she started going around to find a suitable husband for her. So, Lakshmi Devi scrutinizingly examined all the personalities present there. There were so many great demigods and demons and sages and many other universal celebrities are present there in that arena of Samudra Manthan. Now she has to go around and choose her husband. So she saw some people endowed with austerity, but they have a defect of getting angry. For example, Durvasa Muni had lot of austerity, but he becomes angry. And she sees one good quality in a person, but immediately she also finds some fault in that person, so she rejects such a person. So she found somebody with great knowledge, but that person has a lot of material attachment. Example is Brihaspati. And she found someone who is very great, but he has lusty desires. So Lakshmi rejected, that is Brahma. And controllership, somebody has a lot of controllership, but he also has dependence on others. The example is Indra. Indra is dependent on other people. And she found somebody who is very religious, but he is not so friendly to the jivas. That is Sukracharya. And she found somebody who has renunciation, but he does not have liberation. So that is Daksha. And someone has a lot of strength, but he is defeated by time. Shumbha and Nishumbha. And like that, she found somebody who is freed from modes, but they are not suitable companions. The four Kumaras are there. They are like small children. They are not the suitable companions. And she found someone who has long life, but they don't have good conduct. So that is Bali Maharaj. And she found somebody who has good conduct, but not long life. That is the human beings. And she found somebody who has longevity and good conduct both, but they have inauspicious habits, Lord Shiva. And she found someone who is well qualified in all respects, that is Lord Mukunda, and she chose him as her husband, but he also has one kind of shortcoming. What is that? That Lord Mukunda or Lord Vishnu is not interested in her. But still, although Lord Vishnu is not interested in me, I am so eager to serve him. So Mother Lakshmi just offered garland to Vishnu and married Vishnu. Now, some faults of some exalted personalities like Lord Shiva or Brahma and many other sages are also described in this whole episode. But that does not mean that we have to minimize their personalities, or we should not think that they are low in any way. But in comparison to Lord Vishnu, definitely they are inferior. Vishnu's position is way higher than all these exalted personalities. That's the whole episode. Seeing that there are some shortcomings in these people, we are not supposed to offend them or minimize their position. So Lakshmi Devi accepted Lord Mukunda as her husband, and then Lakshmi and Narayana are our supreme eternal parents. So later Lakshmi Devi offered blessings to demigods, and later the demigods and demons continued to churn the milk ocean. And when they churned the milk ocean, Varuni appeared. Varuni is wine. So she is specifically dear to and attractive to drunkards. So we see so many demons mainly addicted to drinking. So all the demons accepted Varuni. Later, towards the end of this churning process, an effulgent personality appeared with the nectar pot, and that personality is Dhanvantari. So Dhanvantari appeared. So on further churning, this strong man Dhanvantari, effulgent personality, appeared, and this Dhanvantari is also another incarnation of the Lord. He is the master of Ayurvedic science. He is the master of the science of medicine. So the demons, they saw the nectar pot in the hands of Dhanvantari. They immediately came forward, snatched that nectar pot, and then they went away. And all the demigods became very morose. So they worked so hard for the churning of milk ocean, but the demons just snatched the nectar pot, and the demigods became so disappointed, and they looked at Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu reassured the demigods, "My dear demigods, don't worry. I will go and bewilder these demons. I will take the form of a beautiful woman and bewilder the minds of these demons. I will captivate them with my feminine attributes, and I will bring all the nectar for you. You don't worry. You are surrendered to me. You have taken shelter of me. Whenever there is some difficulty, you approach me. I will definitely take care of you. I will protect you. Don't worry. So the Supreme Lord Vishnu manifested the form of Mohini Murti. The process of churning of milk ocean has been complete. Nectar has been produced. But that's not the end of the story. The nectar has to come in the hands of demigods and they have to drink that nectar. And that happens by the influence of Mohini Murti. The Supreme Lord Vishnu manifested in the form of a beautiful young woman named Mohini Murti. And her beautiful feminine attributes are described towards the end of this chapter. And her activities, her pastimes, we will see in the next episode. So today we will conclude with this whole process of Samudra Manthan or churning of milk ocean. And in this churning of milk ocean, we see the Supreme Lord appearing in various forms as Vishnu, Lord Ajita directly, then Sahasrabahu, who was holding the top of the mountain Mandara, and as Kurmavatar, who was supporting the Mandara mountain from bottom, and also as Dhanvantari, and now as Mohini Murti. So we will discuss the remaining chapters of the 8th canto in the next episodes. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.